Fan on Demand. Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. I have a special guest in studio. He finally made it in, but I refuse to introduce him because I want everyone to know that Roland Delorme, UFC bantamweight from Winnipeg, Manitoba, will be joining us a little bit later on the show. But the red carpet was rolled out for this gentleman to your radio left, or my left at least, perhaps your radio right. He is officially in the finale of the Ultimate Fighter Nations. His name is Elias Theodore. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, brother. Great to be here.
Well, let's figure out. Well, you had an interesting ride to get up here. Like, were you training?
I was training or whatever like that. And basically, today's been kind of like a whirlwind and all the media stuff and all that jazz. And when Joe tells me to get somewhere, I'm there. Speed limits were a suggestion, not a must.
Yeah, well, I was kind of nervous because of the timing. I didn't know if you were going to make it in time. But first and foremost, congratulations, obviously, on the victory over Tyler. I'm assuming after that episode aired yesterday, your life quickly changed again.
Yeah, it's one of those things. The first change-up was actually when everything was announced and I was released from the house. And then now being a finalist and in the final in Quebec only like 3 weeks away, everything's changed, but for the better.
So Cajun basically said, you know, after that fight with Chad Laprise, that it was the hardest secret for him to keep. This is obviously a difficult secret for you to keep, but you leave the show and then you still have to do media afterwards and no one knows what's going to happen as we move forward. And obviously this was a huge secret for you to keep. Yeah. Are you relieved now that it's out of the bag? You're fighting on April 16th?
Yeah, totally, totally. And I'm the worst liar. Like when everyone, obviously, once they find out, the first thing they ask you, did you win?
Of course.
And I'm so bad at being coy. I'm just looking around. I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Well, that's the way you have to play it, though, because you know, even I, when I was at the Ultimate Fighter House a few times in Vegas, you sign a nice little agreement and a nice document where if you say anything, you're like, that's a career killer.
Not only a career killer, it's about a $5 million non-disclosure.
So
you have that money.
Yeah. So now the cat's out of the bag. Obviously, we don't know who you're competing against yet. And who knows, things can change on the show because, the way the things are happening on the show, guys are getting injured, guys are not getting injured. I mean, it's absolutely insane. What can we look forward to, though, in the next few weeks as we lead up to that Ultimate Fighter finale? Chad told me last week, he's like, Joe, there's still some craziness about to happen.
Yeah, there's still plenty of craziness. And both in the octagon and actually in the house, it's one of those things where it's like everything looks condensed in 7 weeks and you never know whether they find time to fit it in, but there's plenty of fun stuff to watch.
I want to get to more of that in a moment, but some bad news in the world of mixed martial arts. If you're a George St. Pierre fan, Elias and I were just talking about it before we came on to air. George St. Pierre tore his ACL again. It wasn't the right knee this time and not the left knee or whatever he had surgery on the last one. He just popped the other one again. I tried to get a hold of George before I came on there. I talked to some people in his camp, and the overwhelming theory between everyone at the camp is, listen, if anyone can deal I was about to say absurdity, because it is absurd if you ask me, poor guy, but if anyone can deal with adversity, it's George St. Pierre. The last time he had surgery, he came back and won 3 titles back to back. So, you know, we all wish George the best. We don't know if he's coming back, but you got to think, another ACL injury, Elias, is this a career ender for this guy, or...
Well, I think the story to be told is the fact that he is the king of mental focus and mental strength. So if anyone can come back from this, and if that's his plan, because who knows? You know what I mean? Like, who knows where his actual mental state is and what he wants to do? But if anyone can do it, it's George.
See, in my conversations with George, and I spoke to George, what's today? Thursday, obviously. I spoke to him on Tuesday. We didn't talk about the comeback. We're just talking about some business stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he was out of breath. I'm like, are you training, dude? He's like, yeah, because he's always training. I mean, if he gets kicked at a TriStar, fine. I'll just fly to L.A. and I'll go train with Freddie Roach.
Exactly.
And if Freddie kicks him out, well, I'll just go to Jackson's, right? That's how George is. But he wasn't doing anything crazy. He was basically taking care of more business and wanted to get a sweat on. And then I got the news as I was driving down here. I'm driving now. For those that don't know Toronto, we have a major highway that comes in. It's called the Don Valley Parkway. Don Valley parking lot today.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I got the news and I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? So I tried to reach out to him. Haven't heard much from him yet. Hopefully he texts me while we're doing the show. But It's heartbreaking, man. That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Especially because he's now no longer fighting. And you just want the best for him because it's a hard thing that we do. It's not for the faint of heart. And to hear anyone getting injured is always a bad thing. So with George, you just want him to heal up because he's cherished by all his Canadians and all mixed martial artist fans. And that's what George has been doing, being a martial artist his time off. He's still training.
So after the show.
Yep.
Actually, well, let's before we get to after the show was done recording, because you were obviously at Sportsnet 360 for the launch and the ovation that you kept getting. I don't know if it was your crew or if it was just, you know, you were just people loving you already. So that was kind of cool. But OK, so before we get to your fight on the show here, obviously a very emotional beginning to this episode last night, because everybody sort of rallied around the fact that, you know, Cajun comes back into the house and his jaw's wired shut, pretty much busted up in like four places or something.
Three places. Yeah.
What was going through your mind when you saw him walk in?
It wasn't a good scene. Yeah, like again, it's not the easiest thing that we do, and we're all professionals, we're all warriors and whatnot, but especially Cajun. He's been an innovator for mixed martial arts in Canada and just mixed martial arts in general. Like, I think his debut was in 2003 at 17, 18, and he's put the hardest amount of time into it and the longest road traveled. So no one wanted to see, especially Cajun, get there. And you even saw with the Australians, some of them Cajun rubbed them the wrong way, but
afterwards
they want open hands, they just want open hugs and everything, because no one wants to see someone get hurt, especially that bad.
So I mean, let's be honest, so you know the story. I was the day that you guys got picked up and brought to the house, was you guys, the Canadian team, was on a different area of Montreal, if I'm not mistaken, because I was in the lobby of, I won't say which hotel, but the whole Australian team was there.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there with my producer, and I was actually catching up on some fights that happened the day before that I wasn't able to watch because I was doing interviews.
Yeah.
And they all came around my laptop, and I thought, great guys.
Yeah.
But you're in a house with 16 dudes, alpha males. There's one job to do here, right? So it's kind of, I like how the editors are kind of putting in the compliments and then the rips.
Yeah.
Compliments and then the rips. And then you got Kyle Noak ripping you yesterday because of the Spartan thing.
It is what it is. It's one of those things where he's probably said, and it's the magic of editing, right? He probably said 17 different things, and that's the story they went with. And yeah, he can say what he wants. I have thick skin.
You win the fight.
Yep.
You defeat Tyler. You saw some of the haters out there, not happy with the performance.
Haters going to hate. And the important thing is I'm where I need to be in the finale. And it's honestly chestnut checkers. And each fight is important, but obviously everyone needs to get in the finale. And yeah.
Is it safe? I mean, this is just my opinion because I've known you for so long, but that fight that I saw last night is far from the fight that I know of what you're capable. I think I knew what was going through your head. And I was, you know, I was secretly applauding in my living room. Actually, no, I was in my kitchen watching it. And I was like, I know exactly what he's doing. He's got a date in mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's a smart thing to do. Most guys or some guys go out, you know, they go balls out and then bust their hand.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, there were some great incentives, the $25,000 for fight of the night or fight of the season, knockout of the season, whatever have you. But the contract is the most important thing. And it's, again, chestnut checkers.
Is it safe to say that come Wednesday, April 16th, it's going to be a different Spartan out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I have 8 professional fights beforehand. 5 of those are by finish. And I plan to do the same thing of those 5.
It's a different game, though. It's a completely... By the way, you're listening to UFC Central right now. We're in studio with me, the first middleweight from Team Canada to make it to the Ultimate Fighter finale. His name is Elias Theodoro. You can follow him online via Twitter. Elias Theodoro is the handle, ELIASTHEODORO.
That's a whole lot of vowels.
Well, you're from Greek descent or from Italian descent. Doesn't matter what happens. Yeah. We're not going to win. But yeah, follow the Spartan online. Just Google him. I mean, that big chin, the beautiful hair. Yes, I'm jealous because obviously I'm follically challenged, I guess you can say.
I think you're a beautiful man.
I appreciate it. So you win the fight. But now it's a different beast. You've never competed on this stage because I've seen you compete in Hamilton. I've seen you compete at different venues. But now it's the octagon. Now it's the big stage, the brighter lights, the hotter lights, the bigger arena.
Yep.
How have you dealt with that mentally? Have you started visualizing anything and saying, okay, this is different now. This is what I got to do.
Yeah, well, I have a great team around me, and that's what we've been doing for the last week or so and what we'll do for the rest of the actual training camp until the actual date. I'm fortunate to have Sergio Cunhan, who came in from Brazil, from Shootabox. He's a great strategy creator, and I have Lachlan and a whole group of people. I have RG that's helping me sharpen up my hands, and a whole lot of great training partners and whatnot. So with that being said, if you do your homework, you're ready on test day. And my test day is April 16th. And honestly, I live for this. This is what I love to do. You, even though, like, we threw back to some of the haters, they're hating, but you can see in between each round how big of a smile I have on my face, because that's what I love to do. And I'm so excited to show everyone what I'm capable of on April 16th.
Show comes to an end. Chad, Sammy Stote was there. You guys are at Sportsnet 360. We did the official launch live on the air. Had you in and out of the show, sort of thing. You then go to Thailand.
Yep.
Kote was in Thailand. Did you spend time with Patrick out there?
Yeah, we planned it actually. Okay. In the actual show at the end of it, he told me that he was planning on going and invited me to go. And we actually talked to Richard on the opposing team, on our Team Australia. Mm-hmm. He came out with us. So it was me, Pat, and Richard, and then also Pat's friend Jan, who's fighting in a couple, about a month after the actual event.
How long ago did you go? How long were you there for?
I was there for the better part of 3 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. And
so
I just got back
some of this crappy winter that we have here.
Pardon?
The terrible winter we've had here.
I know. In Thailand. I skipped out all three weeks of 35 plus. Basically, I woke up, went for a run, shirtless, mind you. Then hit some pads with Yad, who worked with GSP for his fight.
Yeah. No way.
Yep.
What was that
Yad.
Like?
Awesome. I'm actually planning, Tiger Muay Thai is where I stayed at.
Wow.
And, Tiger was very accommodating for all of us. So they literally asked us what we wanted to do, what our training schedule was like, and made it happen. I'm actually planning to go back in November and December for 2 months, after this little fisticuff.
I had no idea you trained with Yad. For those that don't know, Yad was working with George St. Pierre for the Carlos Condit fight, Nick Diaz fight?
I believe so.
One more.
I don't know if it was...
It's those two?
I don't know if it was for Hendricks then. So,
no,
I think it was those two.
So, and George just wouldn't stop about these guys. But him and... Who's the other guy?
There's some great guys, man. Honestly, there's
the
Don.
One?
There's... Oh, no. I know who exactly you're talking about. I know seven names.
Yeah, George was all over me. And then Faraz is like, come here. And we kind of sat back and watching how they worked with George. I mean, they're on a different level.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that is amazing is they're not... No, I'm not taking anything away from it. They're not... And to some extent, it translates great in MMA because they're not, they're pad work and they're that mastered Yad is that's what, he's an Ajahn, right?
Yeah.
So he's so skilled that he's not the technical and the, he's not the traditional 10 kicks here, 10 kicks there.
Yeah.
It's game plan. It's what you want. He puts you in if you need a specific position, he does it. He goes for takedowns. It's an amazing thing. It's hands all around and he's going to try and take you down. You got to sprawl. You got to get up.
Nice.
You got to punch him. He's a complete martial artist, man. He's a master. He's an Ajahn.
Yeah, like I mean, for those that I'm hoping I can encompass this for you. You know, as you listen in here, this guy is just there's some great, great people in this world when it comes to coaching mixed martial artists or fighters in general. Yad is just insane. I mean, I got to the point where we were joking around. I was like, George, should I bring my gear and can I bring a mouth guard and blah, blah. He's like, you have to. No chance. I mean, Sportsnet would be like, get out of there. Not go in the ring with them, not even to hit pads. But, I'd love to go to Thailand. There was a picture that you put up on your Instagram. You and I think it was a little Thai fighter, maybe. How old was he? Six?
That kid's like seven
give
or take.
7 years old. Can you talk about the culture over there? Because kids start going at 3 years old.
Yeah. Actually, I saw they opened up on, for those that don't know, Tiger Muay Thai is on Chulalongkorn. And there's a street that is by it or whatever like that. Just to digress a little bit, I went to Tiger Muay Thai about 4 years ago. And it was pretty much just Tiger on that street. And to go back 4 years later and see the actual just life of this street, totally reborn, like a whole new economy just based on Tiger alone. Like there's now four different gyms. You got Phuket Top Team. You have AKA now there, and then a whole bunch of other.
That's
in between.
Right. Yeah.
Just on that whole street, just because of Tiger. But with that being said, they also now opened up an actual stadium and the fighters now are going to have many, many fights. So all those sport teams that are on the same street, they're all going to start fighting each other. And you're probably going to see this little 7-year-old kid fighting in the next week or two. You know what I mean? Like sooner rather than later. When I was there, I saw 2 7-year-olds kick each other hard enough that made me cringe, and they didn't even flinch.
It's so part of the culture there.
Yeah.
Like people don't understand it here, even in North America, that Muay Thai to the Thai folks or to the Thai people is like hockey to us.
Yeah, yeah. And they
huge.
They throw, like the 8-year-olds are throwing hooks and kicks crazy. That would make a hockey player go down here at the age of 30.
I mean, that was your second time there?
My second time there, yeah.
You'd go back in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. I'm going back in November. I've already planned it out. And a whole bunch of people from my camp and my team back here are planning to go with me. It's going to be a great thing. But
Beer Sportsnet.
Yeah, exactly. Come out to a segment there.
I would love to come out there. I mean, that's a dream come true. Yeah. I would love. I mean, I've been to Japan, you know,
beautiful.
But to go to Thailand, and before I would go to Thailand, I'd call my crew up. Like, listen, we got to get some rounds in here before I go down there because I want to get my face smashed in.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, I'm not that. I'm not 25 anymore. I'm not your age anymore. But I would love to come out there and definitely check it out. But obviously, a big fight coming up April 16th, Quebec City.
Yep.
Listen, let's be honest. Quebec City is a different world when it comes to what we're used to in Toronto here. We can go to Montreal. People don't know that, you know, I've been to Montreal so many times and promoted so many events there. And just, you know, it was like a second home for me. Vegas is basically my second home now. But Quebec City is a different beast.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how the UFC is accepted there.
True.
That's the one thing I didn't really think about when Tom Wright and the folks booked Quebec City, and especially the fact it's on a Wednesday night.
Yep.
It remains to be seen how that's going to work. What have you heard so far? I mean, are you simply excited to get out there? Who cares? I land, I do the media, and I fight?
It's a little bit of that. I'm focused on that. I'm doing a lot now, especially because it's all out in the open and cat's out of the bag. I'm doing a lot of stuff for the UFC, and I will be doing that for the next 2-3 weeks or whatever like that. But with that being said, I'm focused on what I need to do.
How do you balance it all now with the training that you have to get in there and you need rest? A, you need physical rest, and B, you need mental rest.
Yeah, I just need to separate myself sometimes. And that was one of the cool things with the Ultimate Fighter and the experience itself. I was able to put my phone away. You know what I mean? Longer than I wanted to, but it was
it's
a cool thing.
Beast, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I don't envy you.
It's going to be, and my coaches are really good. I actually, I'm starting that whole idea of like, I have now a media person. Like I have, an editor. I have I have a whole strategy behind my marketing now. So
is that with Alex and Robin and the guys?
Yes. And that's more my management in that regards, but a lovely lady by the name of Natalie is helping me out. I'm going to blast her up on Twitter after this, just so everyone knows who she is. She works wonder.
She was at the...
Boom. Yes, she was.
Blonde girl.
Yep.
She knows her stuff.
Oh, yeah.
PR wise.
Oh, yeah.
She
has her own blog.
You.
I'm going to blast it up. I get hit in the head. So I'm forgetting some important plugs I should be doing. And I'm sorry, Nat. I love you. I'm going to do you do a solid and make up for this by plugging you up on the internets.
So we know Chad Laprise is in the finale as well. He's in the welterweight division. What are you expecting in his fight? Again, we don't know who he's competing against, but what's your take on Chad and your experience with him as you guys were living in the same house for so long?
Yeah, and not only that, I've known him for years, right? Yep. We've been competing on the same circuit for quite some time, and we fought on a couple of cards together, and he's a sweetheart, man. Like, he's a really nice guy, and he's my friend. And we've been training together, actually, since we've gotten back from the show here and there. I've gone down to Adrenaline a few times, and we're training at Parabellum. We trained today or whatever, and last week before that.
There were some nice Instagram pics that came out of Parabellum earlier today.
Yeah.
There's some beasts over there.
Oh, yeah.
Mitch Gagnon's there.
Yep.
Josh Hill's there.
Yep.
You're there.
Yeah. There's some good people down there.
Shout out to Parabellum. You boys are doing the right thing, guys. Congratulations. It's about time.
Yeah, they are.
You know, who else is there? Was Rory there?
Rory's there. It's his.
Yeah.
It's his bad boy.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Rory McDonald. So he's not McDonald. McDonnell.
Yes.
Yes. Big difference.
That. Correct.
Speaking of Rory McDonald. There's a rumor out there that there's talks that he could be fighting Tyron Woodley in Vancouver.
That'd be actually pretty
You like
badass.
That fight?
Oh, I love that fight. For both guys, it's a great one. But for Rory, it allows him to use what he has and basically get to where he needs to be. And there's so much buzz around Woodley, rightfully so.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a dangerous opponent. And unfortunately, it's bittersweet in what happened with Carlos Condit because... Both guys would have had a great... It was a great beginning of a fight, but it could have been a great war. And it's a great fight for Rory.
If that fight... I mean, who knows if it's actually going to be... I mean, if you think about the mathematics, if you're the Ultimate Fighting Championship, you want Rory in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And you want to give Rory a fight that's going to challenge him and potentially get him next in line for Johnny Hendricks. You got to think that fight there is, if it gets put together, the winner gets Johnny Hendricks, exactly. Unless, you know, the UFC goes with the, hey, you know what, Nick Diaz, you're going to sell a whole whack more pay-per-views. But Johnny just had bicep surgery.
That's fair enough. They got some time to kind of wait it out.
Yeah. So did you see the event this weekend in Brazil?
Anderson, I saw parts of it. I saw parts of Shogun. Oh, the poor guy looks so good until he got hendoed.
Dude, do you think, in my opinion, based on the fact that Mauricio Shogun, who, even though he's young, has taken so many beatings, not just in the cage, that's irrelevant. Well, it's relevant, but the earlier years in shoot-a-box, that now that he's taken so much abuse that maybe it's starting to slow things down, that maybe he should walk away from the sport? Or do you think, you know what, no, he's still got plenty of fights left in him?
I still think he has plenty of fights in him. You're right about the point of how it was in Brazil when, again, it was the case of, it was pride back then. That's what you were winning for. You were fighting for your gym. And it took him a little bit, certain things along the way kind of were not stressed on. Diet, we've seen Shogun come in not looking that great, not performing that great in the past.
Knee injuries.
You can't, he has some mileage on him. But it seems now he looked great in the actual fight until, again, he got hendoed.
Those two guys, I've been saying it for a while, they're octagon soulmates.
Yeah.
Those two guys, it doesn't matter. I mean, first things first, right. when you know, on UFC Central, not this week, last week, I was asked specifically, do you think they can do it again? I said, you can never replicate what they did the first time.
Yeah.
And there you go. We watched this fight here, and, I was obviously, wrong.
Never say never,
of course, which is my, people rip me. I'm always sitting on the fence. Well, there you go. Never say never. You never know. But after the first round, after the second round, the first thing I tweeted as we went into the third round was, anyone out there actually think that Dan Henderson can pull this off? Dude, nobody did.
No one did. It was just reflex. Not in the sense of a lucky punch. It's just reflex and just the experience he has. It's the second punch that's the most impressive one. It's the wild first, and then bam! It's the looking, gotcha.
You know what it is about Dan?
What?
Inside left kick.
Bam.
Inside left kick, yep. Overhand right.
Yep.
As soon as he started that, I was looking over at a pal of mine. I'm like, it's coming. Because it's not, and Shogun, he did it to, obviously Dan did it to just everybody.
Yeah.
To everyone, whether it's Michael Bisping or not, he'll just sit there, and all of a sudden once that left leg kick starts coming out, or left inside leg kick, he follows up with the overhand right. And I said, here it comes. And then when he did it, and then he just, the nastiness of the nose just was like an S at the end. I think he's getting surgery today. But he goes down and he pulls it off, and you think to yourself, 43 years old, I know TRT and all that jazz, people can say what they want about that, but he's still 43 years old.
You can't take anything away from him.
The guy's a beast.
He'd be doing it, and now with, TRT is a whole different beast, but now with all that, what's it called? He can honestly do it. He's one of those rare breeds, man. There was nothing other than fighting for him in store. There was nothing in store for him other than fighting. This is his calling. And he's a monster.
It's unreal what that guy's doing. All right, coming up after break, more from Elias Theodoro, more from yours truly. And we'll also be joined by Roland Delorme, a bantamweight from Winnipeg, Manitoba, who has been added to the card UFC 174 in Vancouver. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Special guest co-host in studio. He is in the finale, Wednesday, April 16th, in the one half of the finale for the middleweight division. His name is Elias Theodoro. Make sure you follow him online via Twitter, at Elias Theodoro. Follow yours truly, at Showdown Joe. Obviously, the red carpet was rolled out to get Elias to get here.
I appreciate it.
Did your limo driver find the place okay?
Yes, yes. Morgan Freeman, he pulls out all the stuff. Look what I said.
Good stuff. You're going to need one real soon. You're like a world traveler, man. You're all over the place.
And on the introduction, you forgot Private Dancer for Hire. But,
wow.
That's a different story altogether.
That's a different radio show altogether.
Well, the night is young.
Yeah. Let me ask you this before, I think we have Roland Delorme. We got him on. 1 second. But you've been to Thailand. You've been pretty much all over the world. You've been to Brazil?
Brazil, yep. Japan, too. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Where do you want to go that you haven't been to yet?
That I haven't been to yet. There's a bunch of places out in the States a bunch of camps that I really want to go to. And
you've been to Vegas?
No, I have not. I'm waiting to pop my chair.
Vegas is absolutely fantastic. But what you should have said is Winnipeg, Manitoba, because that's where Roland Delorme is from. Roland, what's going on, my man?
Not much, man. Hanging out. Taking it easy.
Well, you're going to have to take it easy because Elias might jump in at any one point in time to start asking you questions. So both you two guys better be on your best behavior.
By all means.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Listen, big news today. Fight was announced. UFC 174. You're taking on Michinori Tanaka. We'll get to that momentarily, but walk us through what happened to you. In London, England, you were supposed to take on Davy Grant. You make weight. He makes weight. Everything is good. Next thing you know, the fight is off.
You know, it's like the best way for me to explain it, you know, it's like premature ejaculation. You know, you get there, you're excited, you know, waited, I'm happy, it's about to go down, and then all of a sudden, poosh, it's over before you even got started, and you're left standing there like, what the fuck just happened? So that's how I felt. I was just like, you know, it was, we weighed in, I was happy, I rehydrated, I felt good, you know, come back to the hotel, then all of a sudden I got a note on my door saying like, oh, call the UFC, you know, I figured it was, you know, something to do with my corners or some paperwork that I didn't fill out or whatever the case was, and then I got on the phone with them, and they're like, yeah, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but your fight's off. And I'm like, fight's off? I just seen him 2 hours ago. He looked fine, you know? And he had torn his meniscus and got it checked out, and he wasn't cleared to fight. So it became like, oh, well, that sucks. So what am I going to do now? So luckily, they got me on a card right away again, and, you know, that's in the past now, and I'm looking forward to the future.
So Michinori Tanaka, he's 9-0, he's 9-0 to my understanding. He grew up in the Shudo system, which in my opinion, for those that don't know the Shudo system in Japan, it is by far the best developmental system for mixed martial artists. It's something I tried to introduce here in Canada in about 2002, but obviously it's 2014. You can tell how difficult that's been. But yeah, exactly. Tanaka, he's 9-0. Have you had any chance yet to review any tape on the guy?
As of yet, no. I haven't. I pretty much accepted the fight last night, so I didn't have a chance to look online yet. But from my understanding, he's a good grappler. He's got good hands. He's young. He's hungry. You know, and I think it's gonna be a great fight.
So before you get to that fight, I mean, that fight's not till June 14th. We do have some. We've got plenty of time there. When are you starting your training camp?
Oh, I'm gonna be in the gym the whole time, but I'm 8 weeks out. I'm gonna start going really, really hard, you know. So I'm always in the gym because always, especially in between fights, you know, I like to stay sharp and I like to. That's when now is the time where I get to work on my skills and my skill set, and I get to build. And then when I start my fight camp, it becomes just, you know, robotic. You know, just go in there and just do work, you know. So that's. I like this aspect of getting a fight and having a lot of notice because now I get to work on things I want to do. And then, you know, a few weeks from now, that's when I start training hard, start doing 2 days, 3 days, and just, you know, really push myself to the limit.
Hey, Roland, it's Elias here. I just, I know you just signed the actual fight and you just found out your opponent just now. One thing I just wanted to throw out there, how do you feel fighting a person that is undefeated? Is that something, an issue to you, or something comes across your mind, or are you just ready to do your thing?
I just want to go out there and derail that hype train.
I dig it.
That's all I want to do. You know, I see it as it's a challenge to me. You know, I want to put that first loss on his record. I want to be that guy. You know, cool. And it just motivates me to go out there and perform to the best of my abilities. You know, I want to go out there. I want to look good. I want to feel good, and I want to, you know, I want to prove to myself and everyone else that I'm the best fighter in that ring.
I got a question actually for both you guys, and it stems off the whole situation with what happened to you in London, Roland. Because you didn't get to fight, there's a certain, obviously, an emotional and almost a depressing state that it's like, man, I put all this work in. I'm ready to go. I've traveled across the world. Two guys have told me in the past, I don't want to name their names, but they said, all I wanted to do was feel pain. I wanted someone to punch me. I wanted someone to kick me. I just wanted to get all this pent up energy out of my system. I'll go to you first, Roland. What did you do to deal with all that?
I buried my feelings in cheesecake.
Awesome.
You know, and that's pretty much, I literally walked back in my room. I was about to go to bed, and then I was like, well, I guess I'll go out and eat a whole bunch of crap now, because that's
good
the one
you.
I left.
Good for you.
So that's how I dealt with it.
No, hitting the pads the next day, just, you know, something hurt me, somebody?
No, I hurt my stomach.
There you go, definitely.
What about you, Elias?
I've never been in that situation, but the closest I've been in is fights falling through a couple weeks beforehand. So it's one of those things on the
lower Ontario?
Circuit. Ontario.
Shocker.
Many other places as well. A couple times in the States or whatever like that. So that's always a letdown when it's 2-3 weeks in advance. Just to throw it back to your opening little comment, I too have been on a few dates and I hate when that happens.
Get out of here. Stop it. We're trying to get these kids listening to the show, guys. Hold on a sec. Talking about competing for the Ultimate Fighting Championship in Canada, you've done it 3 times. You did it in Calgary, you did it in Winnipeg, you did it in Toronto. Now you're about to do it in Vancouver. It's old hat to you now, but what advice would you give to Elias, who's got to do it for the very first time in Quebec City?
And just enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the crowd. You know, just don't, it's like any other fight anywhere else, except maybe now you get a few extra thousand fans cheering you on, you know. It's one of those things where, you know, I love fighting at home. I love fighting overseas, too. There's a little bit more pressure fighting at home, having all your friends and family, but, you know, I just use that as motivation and helps me drive, you know, push myself to where I need to be to win the fight. So just feed off the energy.
Cool, my
advice.
I mean, obviously, I think I know every Canadian that's ever competed on under the Ultimate Fighting Championship banner, and there's always a small theme with the guys that win towards the guys that lose their very first time. It all depends on how well prepared you are to understand that you're not fighting for a small show, that you are fighting for a big show, and to accept that and not be afraid of it, and to actually look at it and say to yourself, you know what, when I get to town, I'm going to go check out the arena. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to smell the arena. I'm going to feel it. Is that stuff that you do, Roland, where you actually have to visualize and actually feel that you're there beforehand?
Yeah, man, especially when I get to the arena, especially for the weigh-in or the day before, way pre-fight when you're there a few more hours. I like to walk in the cage. I like to look around. I like to picture all the, you know, everybody in the seats and picture the feeling, and I want to feel the energy, you know, walking out, and I picture that in my head, so that way when I get out there, you know what I mean, it's normal. It's not, there's nothing that's different. You know, I picture this. I've seen this 1,000 times. You know, I know what I want to do. I know how I'm going to feel when I walk out. You know, I'm in the moment before I'm in the moment. You know, I just try to visualize. I use a lot of visualization in my training as well, where I see all the angles, you know, and that's one thing where I think that helps me prepare for the walkout and fighting in front of a big crowd. It's just that thinking about it and just, you know, being there before I'm there and seeing the angles and just, you know, use the power of my mind to help prepare for that moment.
Remove Winnipeg from this equation. Let's talk Toronto, Calgary. Toronto and Alberta. Or Toronto and Calgary, yes. Look at me and my geography right now. Terrible.
A for effort.
A for effort. Thank you. How much of a Canadian crowd boost or pump does it help you in a fight when you're caught in a situation that's very, very difficult, and that can, because Winnipeg, obviously you were a rock star when you walked out of there, dude. It was absolute insanity when they started cheering for you. But remove that and you start talking about competing in another city. Now, as Canadians, we're good people. They're going to boo Tanaka because he's not Canadian, not because he's Japanese. It's because he's not Canadian. He's fighting Roland Delorme. But in tight situations, how much does that crowd help you out? And the reason why I ask is Sean Pearson tells me all the time when he gets rocked, because, you know, God love Sean, he gets rocked in the third round all the time. He's like, I can't lose in front of Canadians. Are you insane? I can't do it. Do you feel that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, definitely. Well, I feel that in every fight, not just Canadians. You know, I go out there and I just, I do not want to lose. I do not, especially when I'm in Canada, I do not want to lose in front of my hometown fans. I don't want to get stuck in a position where I can't get out of. And it definitely helps me, just get that thought out of my head of, you know, if I'm getting pinned against the cage or I'm on the ground, get up now. Don't be complacent. You know, it helps me not be complacent where I want to get out of those bad situations, or I don't want to rest. I always want to be pushing because I want to keep that crowd going. You know, I want that crowd to see that I'm working hard and I'm not taking a minute, a round, a second off. I'm working every time for me and for them. I want to be entertaining as much as I want to win. You know, I want the crowd to enjoy the fight as much as I'm enjoying the fight being in it. You know, so it definitely helps me. You know what I mean?
No, that's definitely a really good fighter mentality. With that being said, and now that you have had, 3 fights in the UFC, this is number 4. Do you still get those, or is it 2?
Sorry. No, this is actually number 6.
Number 6.
Yeah, man.
I get hit in the head way too much, it seems. But with that being said, we were kind of talking about it earlier where the UFC is always just another show. Is that completely how it is, or are there still some butterflies? There's still some nervousness?
The rookie jinx.
Yes.
Well, honestly, it literally took me up until my past couple fights where now I'm actually starting to get comfortable in the cage.
Cool.
I'm starting to be comfortable. I'm starting to get creative, and I'm starting to do things more that isn't just my generic stuff I do. You know, when I'm in the gym, I'm creative, and I'm moving, and I'm doing,
in the moment.
I'm trying new things, and I'm, like, working, you know?
Yeah.
And I've had a problem doing that in the UFC cage just because, like, it's always been hard for me to get comfortable. And just now, you know, my sixth fight in, I'm starting to get comfortable, and I'm starting to feel like, you know, get creative and just be loose, you know? And that's it's taken me up, you know, 4 fights to get that. And then that's when I get dangerous. Now is the time where I'm going to start to be real dangerous because that's when I get comfortable and loose and try new things. And, you know, and that's definitely took me a few fights in the UFC to get used to that.
Yeah. And it's one of the things that Dana talks about all the time. And actually, I talked to Dana about this the last 3 or 4 shows about a couple of guys that are coming up that have been around. And you start seeing the difference, and I think, Roland, you nailed it on the head. Once guys start getting comfortable in the octagon, it's a different beast. Provided they can win at least 2 of their first 4 fights, maybe 3, and they start seeing a bit of a roll, that's when guys start getting dangerous. And that's a huge head start you're going to have on Tanaka. But before we let you go, you've yet to see tape on him yet. And I know I'm going to talk to you before this fight because it's not until June, and we'll try and catch up with you sometime in the middle of training camp. But based on what you do know, do you have a perfect fight in mind, or is it just going to be like water, let it flow, whatever happens, happens? I know you love your subs and you want to submit this guy, but the last time you TKO'd somebody was, I think it was Sean Quinn back in 2010, so it's been 4 years, son.
Yeah.
That was a great year.
It's about that time.
Oh, there you go.
The storm's coming, you know. And somebody's gonna get wet, man. You know, like that's it. Like it's one of those things where I've always been a type of person. I just flow. I go out there, I let it go. I come out with a game plan, but I'm not committed to the game plan. You know, I could switch it up if need be. And but definitely, man, it's one of those things where I do want to come out. I want to show what I've been working on. I want to come out and show that I'm getting better. You know, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. You know, so it's definitely one of those things where I want to come out. And I want to show people showcase my skills and what I've been working on for the past few years. You know, there's a lot of things I'm really good at that nobody's ever seen just because I've never had a chance to do it in the cage yet. So it's definitely one of those things where I want to come out, especially in this fight, and show the newcomer what it's like to be in the UFC.
Oh, dude, thank you very much for joining us. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks, maybe a month or so, and get a good taste of how training camp is going. And once again, give my love to all the boys out there and tell your crew to stop hounding me. I will have you on the TV show. I will have you on the radio show. They're putting the fear of God in me, man. Come on.
Sounds good. Yo, I'll let them know. I'll put them on notice.
Put them on blast, man. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you have it, Roland DeLorme. Make sure you follow him online via Twitter as well. It's @RolandDeLorme1, if I'm not mistaken. But great guy. He's got a bright future, obviously, in the sport. And like you said, man, once you start getting comfortable in that octagon, it's a different beast. And I know it sounds silly because you've yet to really make an octagon debut, but you can just imagine how good Elias Theodoro is going to be. Rule number one, or fight number one comes April 16th. You got to win that one first, and the future is going to be bright. But I don't think you're leaving the sport anytime soon.
That's the plan. Kicking butt.
What drew you to mixed martial arts? That's a real question right there.
It was one of those things where right after my first year of university, I was already kind of developing the mind, enlightenment and whatnot, decided to do the body. I went to a local gym and just fell in love with it. It's one of those things where I'm a huge believer that knowledge is power, and this is one of those things that you never stop learning. The day you think you know everything, you get your butt kicked on national TV. So I'm a student for life.
You take a look at how some guys develop their mixed martial arts game, whether it's the boxing, whether it's the Muay Thai, whether it's the wrestling, whether it's the jits, and of course, combining all of that. When you look at where you're at right now, cardio is one of your specialties,
yeah.
Especially at 185. It's a very difficult thing. But as you continue to grow in this sport, the guys get better, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The guys become elite and elite and elite. When you look at what you need to work on, you don't have to give anything away because I don't expect you to, but how much work do you think you have to put on before one day you can contest for a title? Is it that much more work?
Always. You want to be, in order to be the best, to fight the best, you got to be the best. And I've even though the spotlight that I've had on me in the last 2-3 months with the show, it's one of those things you got to remind people. I've only been pro for 2 years.
Yep.
So, and with that being said, I've only been training for about 4 or 5. So, it's, again, I throw it back to the fact that I'm always learning. I'm a student of martial arts, and I got some really great people behind me. I have Sergio Cunan getting me ready for this fight, Shooter Box coach, Anderson Silva, Shogun, Vanderlei.
Yeah, he's been with everybody.
Noguera. It's really an amazing thing when he was getting Noguera ready for his Royal Nelson fight, and he left to come and help me. He's cornering me in my fight. So
they're fighting on April 11th.
Yeah, no.
Or 5 days before you guys, yeah. In Abu Dhabi.
Yep, I know.
That's where we gotta go.
Exactly. What's his name? Noguera is actually, if he comes out unscathed, he said to my coach that he's actually going to come to the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Nice.
Cheer me on. So that's a really cool thing. Nice. I trained with him out at his place in Brazil about a year ago.
And, what was that like?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, honestly, and like, you would know this, there's so many killers that no one knows
about. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was 4-0 at the point, kind of just training. And it's one of those things, obviously, you go to someone else's gym and they kind of, they test you out a little bit, right? And my coach, he's basically going a little hard and I was going harder and it would just kind of build up. And Sergio kept on telling me to go harder, harder, go, go, go.
Wow.
And then at the end of it, it was kind of like we pat each other. We had that moment and it was a cool thing or whatever like that. And he left and then I kind of went to go see my coach and he goes, you did very well. You're 4-0? And I'm like, yes. He's 19-2. So you did pretty all right.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah. So,
well, the one thing I know about you, and I've had a couple of guys tell me this before, when you spar with Elias, Elias does things that are not supposed to work, but then they hit you in the face and they hit you in the ribs and they do this and do that. I think we got about a minute to go before we go. Is that a style that you love doing? Or is it just... it's just you.
It's just me. I'm a bit of a goof. We're tightening up.
you think?
Yeah, exactly. And again, the joke that we said, private dancer for hire. The hips don't lie. I move pretty damn good for a middleweight, and I'm tightening everything up to kind of play. And now I've had 10 professional, well, one exhibition and 9 professional fights, but I'm looking forward to play in April 16th.
And the future is so bright for you, young man. A big fight Wednesday, April 16th. You will be able to catch it live on Sportsnet 360. It is the Ultimate Fighter finale. 2 Canadians are already in the finale. Chad Laprise and the man to your radio left, my left, or my right, my left, your radio right.
Someone's
Elias left. Theodoro, he is competing. We don't know who he's competing against yet, but make sure you tune in every Wednesday night on Sportsnet 360. It's been a pleasure, my man. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
There he is, Elias Theodoro. Thank you, everyone, for listening online and, of course, in the Greater Toronto Area. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.